Spitzer, we thank you. And our public hearing for this evening is change of zone, number 1770, TD Rehoboth LLC.
This is the application of TD Rehoboth LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Hill, 100 Sussex County, containing 114.4821 acres, more or less, land on the northeast side of Route 1, referred to as Coastal Highway, across from Route 88, referred to as Cave Neck Road. At this time, there's not a 911 address available, and the property is identified as tax map ID number District 235, map 23, parcel 1. This application was filed on December 22nd of 2014. On April the 10th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet that's been in the file. Each commission member has received a copy of that. The exhibits include applicant information, Overbrook Town Center concept plan, Environmental Resources Incorporated wetlands letter, a economic impact summary, a DLDOT letter dated August 21st, 2001 regarding change of zone number 1461, which is known as Painter's Purchase. Minutes of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission hearing on change of zone number 1461, dated March 21st of 2002. Copies of strategies for state policies and spending investment areas. A copy of a portion of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, pages 2-2, 3-7, 3-8, 3-9, 3-15, 3-16, and the future land use map. Copies of a portion of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, section 115, 83.1, and section 115, 83.3. Excuse me. Copies of a portion of the Sussex County Subdivision Ordinance, section 99-5. The Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation on change of zone number 1690, which was LT Associates, dated October 14th of 2009, a market need analysis summary, and a Artesian Resources ability to provide wastewater service letter dated March 24th of 2015. As I said, you each received a copy of that. That's part of the record. On April 13th, the applicants submitted a soil reconnaissance report for stormwater management, a stormwater report and stormwater assessment study, and an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. Each of you were provided a copy of that. That's been in the file since the 13th, and that's a part of the record. The record also contains a 29-page letter from DLDOT in reference to the traffic impact study that has been in the file. Mr. Lang suggested that we just provide each of you a copy of that letter. It is a part of the record. And also with that, there was a DLDOT letter dated August the 8th of 2014 referencing the traffic signal justification. That's a copy for you. That's a part of the record. The application was reviewed by the Preliminary Land Use Services on November 28th of 2002. Those comments have been in the file, and the applicants responded to those comments on December 20th of 2012. They are a part of the record. We pass those down for your review. On April 15th, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on site are Downer, Greenwich, Ingleside, and Long Marsh. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control during construction, the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction. There's no storm flood hazard area affected. It's highly likely that the proposed project would necessitate all-site drainage improvements, and it's also proposed that the proposed project would necessitate all-site drainage improvements, and there's no tax ditch area affected. On April 17th of this year, we received a letter from Delaware Electric Cooperative advising that they're willing and able to serve the project with electricity. That's in the file. It's a part of the record. And as of 4:30 today, we have received 6 letters in support of this application, 454 letters opposed. Some of those letters we received via email, fax, and the hard copy mail, so there are some duplicates. We received 3 petitions with a total of 21 signatures signed against this application, and there was another online petition against this application with 167 signatures in opposition. We had these in the file if you'd like to review them, and they're all a part of the record. And at that time, that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right. Chairman, just real quick, yes, to add to that, I was handed earlier a letter dated April 10, 2015 to Mr. Ross from Nicholas and Joanne Rafferty. That will be made part of a record. And Ms. Mabel Granke, I believe, is here tonight, and she may speak, but just so for the record, her statement is also being included in the record as well.
Okay. Thank you. All right, then, before we begin, I want to remind both the applicant and the public that this is an application for a change of zone. The question before us this evening is whether or not this property is appropriate for the zoning application, for the zoning classification that the applicant is seeking. It is not about the specific use, because there are many, many uses that are permitted in a change of zone. And when a property changes hands or things change, anything in that zone, in that change of zone, would be permitted. That's why this is a very serious matter. And it is also is not particularly focused on site plans and things like that. Now, you will see some of that information this evening, because a certain amount of it is necessary for the applicant to convey what their vision is. But the ultimate question is this property suitable for any and all classifications, uses in that classification? That's the question that we're being asked to make a recommendation on this evening. Now, the Planning and Zoning Commission makes a recommendation to County Council. There will be another public hearing that County Council will have. They will consider our recommendation, but ultimately they will make the final decision. So this is really a two-step process. And finally, for the public in particular, the applicant apparently has a number of exhibits, may have some presentation on the screen there. They're going to be somewhat difficult for you to see from where you're sitting or standing. Please feel free to get up, walk closer, get closer to the easel over here or to the screen if you need to. Feel free to walk right up here to the front if need be, in order to get a look at what's being presented. The one thing we do ask is that you not have any conversation while you're doing that, because the public hearing will be proceeding. But if you wish to see what's being displayed and you cannot see it from where you're sitting, please feel free to get up and come up and take a look. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Gentlemen, good evening. For the record, my name is James Fuquay. I am the attorney representing the applicant, TD Rehoboth LLC. And Mr. Wheatley, for the record, there are duplicate boards over there. You can't see them.
Behind the screen. You all can see them. I can't. So you're welcome to walk up and get a closer look there or over here, any place you'd like.
And there are only two boards, and they're the same boards on either side.
Oh, okay, great. Good. Thank you.
For the record, I am an attorney in Delaware. I have offices in Georgetown and Rehoboth, and as I said, I am representing the applicant. With me are Lou DiBattanto, seated right back here. He's a representative of TD Rehoboth LLC. Steve Gorski is with Duffield Associates. He's the project manager and engineer. And Wes Guckert and Joe Caligero of the Traffic Group, who are the traffic engineering consultants. Prior to tonight's hearing, we have submitted several exhibits for the record, which Mr. Abbott already summarized, so I won't repeat that. I do want to repeat, though, that there was an exhibit booklet submitted that you all have, and I will be referring to that in my presentation. The application before you is a request to rezone 114.48-acre parcel of land located on the northeast side of Route 1 from AR1 to CR1, the commercial residential zoning designation. For the record and for public information, the applicant has already indicated that the intended purpose of the rezoning is the construction and operation of a retail shopping center with a building area of approximately 852,000 square feet, to be called the Overbrook Town Center. The shopping center would be designed as a traditional shopping center with outside entrances to the various retail stores and not as a mall, which would have interior walkways and common areas and interior store access. The proposed use would be a traditional retail shopping facility, not an outlet type of facility. It's intended to include quality department stores, national anchor stores, national brand name smaller stores, along with a mixture of local retailers, restaurants, and entertainment venues. A conceptual site plan on the board has been submitted for informational purposes only, and as the chairman stated, this is to in order the commission and people here to visualize the proposed design and improvements that would be constructed. As you know, the purpose of this hearing is only to address the proposed rezoning application, and if our application is approved, the developer will be required to obtain preliminary and final site plan approval from the commission. At the time of site plan review, the details of the plan, such as parking, setbacks, landscaping, buffers, stormwater management, and a host of other facets of the site would be reviewed by the commission, which does have the final approval authority. And final approval also would require the approvals or permits of all other state or county regulatory agencies. Again, just for reference, the conceptual site plan proposes stores on the north, east, and south portions of the property. Those stores would contain approximately 790 square feet of floor area. Majority of the parking would be in the area between the stores. In addition, there would be up to 6 pad sites ranging in size from 1.5 acres to 3 acres located along the front of the property, which is to the left, which is the Route 1 frontage. Construction of the main area would occur in 3 phases corresponding to the 3 main building areas, and each phase would comprise approximately 250 to 300,000 square feet of floor area. However, again, as Chairman Wheatley already stated, the purpose of tonight's hearing is not to review the site plan, nor is the purpose of this hearing to analyze the applicant's business plan or to determine the public's desire or lack of desire for additional shopping destinations, nor is it to discuss what stores may be located here, nor is it to discuss the popularity of the application. The only question tonight is actually a quite simple question. And as the Planning and Zoning Commission has noted on numerous occasions, and as the chairman has already stated this evening, the only question before you is this parcel appropriate for the zoning being requested? In this case, the appropriate would refer to the CR1 zoning. The applicant strongly believes this parcel is appropriate for CR1 zoning, and we are well aware that the many people here tonight believe equally as strong that the parcel is not appropriate. And while we do not expect to change the opinion of the opponents, we do welcome this opportunity to explain to the commission and to the opponents the basis and the reasoning of us choosing this site. Now, in determining whether this site is appropriate, the word appropriate in the context of a land use application does not mean, do you personally think this proposal is suitable for the proposed use? In a land use application, the established law requires that a local government, in dealing with a specific land use decision, must act in a rational, non-arbitrary manner, guided by legislative standards of general applicability. Now, in Sussex County, there has been prior planning for future land use, and the legislative standards of general applicability that apply are the county zoning ordinance and the county comprehensive plan. So the real question is this parcel appropriate for zoning, for the zoning being requested under the applicable legislative standards? And our presentation will focus on establishing that the answer to that question is yes. Just to briefly tell you what we intend to do, our presentation will consist of the following. I'm going to present some background information about the site and the legal basis that we believe supports our change of zone request. Steve Gorski will address the site conditions and engineering issues. Wes Guckert will discuss the traffic impact study and the DLDOT review of that study. At the conclusion, I will make a very brief closing statement. So as to the conditions of the site, as I stated, the site is located on the northeast side of Route 1. It's more or less opposite or across from the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection. It's approximately a mile and a half north of the Route 1 Nassau Bridge. The property is owned by Mr. and Mrs. Fred Chapel. They hold it in the name of Overbrook Acres, LLC. Mr. Chapel was born and raised in Sussex County. His family owned farmlands over near Route 9, and Mr. Chapel's father purchased this parcel of land in approximately 1950 for the purpose of expanding their family farm operation. The land has been owned by the Chapel family for approximately 65 years. As I stated, the site contains 114.48 acres of land. The majority of the site is cleared and has been used for farming for some time. The property borders on the west Route 1. It has approximately 1,800 feet of road frontage. Route 1 is a major arterial road with separated north and south travel lanes. The northeast and south sides of the property border lands in agricultural use, and you can see that on the aerial map. This is the site. There's farmland to the north, to the east, and to the south. The property is approximately across the Route 1 from the Cave Neck Road intersection. Cave Neck Road runs in a westerly direction from Route 1 to the town of Milton. The general nature of the area is a mixed combination of some farmlands, residential development, and a general mixture of commercial and service activity fronting on Route 1. This is just a blow-up of the county tax maps that I had to splice together, but just to give you an idea of the area. On the west side of Route 1, which would be this side of Route 1, this is Cave Neck Road is here. This would be north of Cave Neck Road. The Red Fox Run subdivision is located right here where the MR zoning is. Directly across from our site are two parcels, Zone C1, that would be right here. They're used as an auto repair business and a self-storage facility. On the corner of Cave Neck Road is a farm market. On the west side of Route 1, south of Cave Neck Road, going toward Nassau, the corner property is a 4.71-acre parcel at Zone B1 that's currently undeveloped and for sale. Going south on Route 1 are a number of parcels zoned C1 commercial and a number of business and service uses. They include the Heritage Antiques, the Red Mill Inn, Harvard Business Systems, Delaware Guidance Services, Beach Babies and Beach Buddies facilities, and a Remax Realty office. To the rear, or west of most of these properties right here, is the Painter's Mill RPC. On the east of Route 1, the side that our site is located, again, south of our site, well, again, farmland is next to us, south of that site, again, are a number of parcels that are zoned C1 commercial and numerous businesses. The businesses include Schaefer's Tire and Schaefer's Bike Stores, a piano and keyboard store, a small shopping center, the Willow Creek Plaza, which contains a home medical equipment store, a mortgage loan office, and a medical clinic. So again, on this map, our site is in the yellow. The red are the currently existing zone commercial pieces. The blue is the B1 zone piece. So there are a number of businesses and commercial zoning located in the immediate area. As I said, the nature of it is a general mixture of commercial and service activities along Route 1. As to the particulars of our site, the majority of our acreage is clear and it's been farmed. There are about 6 acres of upland woodlands that are located toward the rear of the property. Wetland inspections were performed by our environmental consultants, Environmental Resources, Inc. They found that no state wetlands or federal title wetlands were present on the site. That letter is Exhibit C of the exhibit book. The State Historic Preservation Office indicated in the plus comments that there are no known historic or cultural resources sites located on the property. DENREC indicated in the plus comments that there are no state rare or federally listed plants, animals, or natural communities located on the site. Central water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, Inc., a state-regulated public utility. An ability to serve letter is in the record as an exhibit to the environmental assessment report. Electricity will be provided by DEC, Delaware Electric Co-op, and an ability to serve letter is in the record. Central wastewater service will be provided by Artesian Resources. Artesian has an existing wastewater service in close proximity to the site. Has existing and available transmission treatment and disposal facilities. And an ability to serve letter from Artesian is Exhibit M of the exhibit packet. The property is in the jurisdiction of the Delaware State Police, and the shopping center would provide private on-site security. The new Lewis Fire Department station is located at Nassau, less than a mile and a half from the site. Wes Gucker will, of the traffic group, will discuss the traffic study and the DelDOT review and the improvements that, will be required in a few minutes. There is, however, one aspect of the road improvements that I do want to comment on. The state of Delaware Department of Transportation implements what's called a corridor capacity preservation program. The goals of the program are, one, to maintain a road a road's ability to handle traffic; two, to minimize the transportation impacts of increased economic growth; three, to preserve the ability to make future transportation-related improvements as needed; and last, to prevent the need to build entirely new roads. Now, within that program, Route 1 from Dover south to Five Points is one of the designated corridors. So part of DelDOT's long-range corridor program was to construct new intersections with overpasses at several existing intersections in the Route 1 corridor. And I think, as you all know, there have been several overpasses built at some of those locations over the past several years. Now, as part of that corridor capacity preservation program, a redesigned intersection with the Route 1 overpass was planned for the Cave Neck Road Route 1 intersection. Exhibit E of the exhibit book that, I submitted to you in that packet is a copy of a DelDOT letter issued on the Painter's Mill development, which at the time it was approved was called Painter's Purchase. The letter, which was issued in 2001, confirms that this intersection is part of the corridor program and that a full interchange with a Route 1 overpass was planned by DelDOT. That's on page 2 of that document. Again, that would be as long ago as 2001. Additionally, Exhibit F of the packet are the minutes of the March 21st, 2002 Planning and Zoning Commission hearing on the Painter's Mill application. The minutes on page 5 note that a new interchange is planned at this intersection and that DelDOT was requesting that the county require the developer of the Painter's Mill project to dedicate sufficient right-of-way in the northeast corner of the Painter Mill development to accommodate the construction of DelDOT's proposed Route 1 Cave Neck Road interchange. Now, my point in raising this is to make it clear that the proposed new interchange and overpass is not the result of our proposal, but was part of DelDOT's long-range transportation plan for this area. Now, based on the traffic impact study and numerous meetings with DelDOT, it was determined that my client, T.D. Rehoboth, would contribute $8 million toward the construction of the new intersection, and that will be a requirement of DelDOT's approval. The DelDOT's review letter that's in the record states that DelDOT's Corridor Capacity Preservation Program manager has no objection to the proposed development, provided that the grade-separated intersection is utilized. So in summary, our proposal is not the cause of the new intersection, which was planned to be built and would be built and probably will be built regardless of our proposal, but we will be providing $8 million toward its cost, enabling it to be constructed in the near future. Now, what I've set up to this point is background information about the site and the proposed use. What I would like to do now is focus on the question that I presented earlier, and that is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning under the applicable legislative standards? We certainly recognize that public comment or opposition should be considered, but ultimately the reasons for your decision must be articulated and they must relate to the statutory mandates. In considering if our parcel is appropriate for CR1 zoning.
Excuse me just a second, Mr. Fuca. Ladies and gentlemen, the murmuring can be heard up here, and if we can hear the murmuring, people are going to have difficulty hearing the applicant. This is the applicant's opportunity to speak. I would appreciate it if you would respect that, and we will respect your opportunity when it comes. Thank you. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, in considering if our parcel is appropriate for CR1 zoning, I believe there are four relevant sources of guidance to determine the statutory mandates. And these are the items that I think you should consider. The first is the State of Delaware Strategies for State Policies and Spending. The second is the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The third is the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. And fourth is consideration and analysis of comments and determinations made by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission and the Sussex County Council in other applications seeking CR1 zoning. I will review each of these four sources of guidance in the order I stated, and I want to emphasize that it is these four factors that led the applicant to choose this site. First, the state strategies document. Even though zoning decisions are under county control and are made locally, the state has significant interest in zoning decisions since the state makes investments in road systems, schools, and similar matters of public benefit. In 1999, the state developed the original strategies for state policies and spending to guide state investment decisions and to coordinate communication with local governments on land use matters. The strategies document has been periodically updated, and it currently classifies land as being in one of five investment levels. Levels one through four, and what's referred to as out of play. The strategies document contains an investment level map, and that identifies the various investment levels. Exhibit G of the exhibit packet is a copy of the what's referred to as the investment areas overview section of the strategies document. So this overview section states, it should be noted, and I'm quoting this, it should be noted that the levels are not meant as ascending levels of importance, but rather as a way to distinguish the different types of funding priorities within each area. Levels 1 to 3 are the areas that state policies will support growth and economic development activities, with levels 1 and 2 being the primary focus. In these areas, the state would like to see local government land use policies that promote higher densities and mixed-use type development such that complete communities can be developed where people can live, play, work, and shop. The next three pages of that of Exhibit G are the investment levels map. And I marked our site with an X. And I think, as you can see in referring to the maps, it is in an area that is yellow, which is a level 3 area. And this is an area where the strategies document states that state policies will support growth and economic development activities. That determination is confirmed by the Office of State Planning Coordination's PLUS comments, which state this project is in investment level 3, according to the strategies for state policies and spending. Investment level 3 reflects areas where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the longer-term future. The strategies document was adopted some time ago, and we are now in the longer-term future. The level 3 determination is further confirmed by the state through DLDOT's comments on page 9 of the TIS review letter. That's the DLDOT letter dated September 9, 2014, where DLDOT states, and again I quote, "The proposed development is located within an investment level 3 and is to be developed as commercial space. This type of development is consistent with the character of the second category investment level 3 area. It is therefore concluded that the proposed development generally complies with the policy stated in the 2010 update of the Strategy for State Policies and Spending." Now, in addition to that determination, I would also point out to you, and if you refer to the investment level map, you will see that all of the land fronting on the west side of Route 1 and a good portion of the land fronting on the east side of Route 1, running from the Nassau Bridge up to Cave Neck Road, is located in an area red. And under the state strategies map, that is the investment level 1. So it's clear that the Route 1 corridor and this section of the Route 1 corridor from Five Points up to and including our site is an area where the state anticipates, directs, and plans for growth. So going back to the question, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning according to the state strategies document? The answer is clearly yes. The second source of guidance that I mentioned in considering our request is the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update. The creation of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan was mandated by enactment of the Quality of Life Act, that is a state law that required the creation of county comprehensive plans, and that law provides that the maps created as part of the new plan shall have the force of law, and any proposed development must be in conformity with those comprehensive plan maps. The Sussex County Comp Plan update was adopted by County Council on June 24, 2008. It was certified by the governor on October 27, 2008. And the plan itself states that its adoption and certification followed more than 18 months of public meetings, planning sessions, and numerous draft revisions, all in an effort to shape the document into its final form. And, of course, the Planning and Zoning Commission was an integral part of that process, and this 2008 comprehensive plan update is the current comp plan and is the principal blueprint for future land use in Sussex County. Exhibit H of the exhibit packet contains some of the sections of the plan and the future land use map, which I will be referring to. In general, the concept of the comp plan is that it discusses various elements related to land use in Sussex County, but it clearly states that the future land use element or the future land use plan is probably the most influential part of the comprehensive plan, and that the zoning regulations of the county are intended to carry out the future land use plan. The future land use plan also designates which parts of the county are to be considered growth areas. And the document states that being labeled a growth area has implications in county zoning. That's on page 3-7 of the comp plan. The future land use plan divides Sussex County into two types of planning areas. There are growth areas and there are rural areas. And within those areas, there are subcategories. The environmentally sensitive developing area is one of the designated growth areas in the plan. It's on page 3-8. The plan states that it seeks to direct the county's most concentrated forms of new development to growth areas, including most high-density residential development and most business development. It's on page 3-9 of the plan. And it also states that the county, Sussex County government, encourages economic growth, page 2.2. Now, the last three paragraphs of my Exhibit H are portions of the future land use map showing our area. And as you can see from those maps, our parcel is within the environmentally sensitive developing area, the growth area. In fact, our site is actually the northern boundary of the growth area. Our northern boundary is the end of the environmentally sensitive development area. The plan in presenting the major guidelines for future growth in the environmentally sensitive development area specifically states under the heading permitted uses, this is on page 316, that retail and office uses are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to selected locations with access to arterial roads. It's page 316. So the plan recognizes that larger shopping centers can be permitted. I'm not saying must be permitted. I'm saying can be permitted and are appropriate at selected sites with access to arterial roads in the environmentally sensitive development area. And as I will explain in a little more detail, Route 1 is a major arterial road. The plan also strongly encourages central water and sewer facilities for development in the environmentally sensitive development area, and the TD site will have central water provided by Tidewater and central sewer provided by Artesian. So our zoning request is clearly in accordance with the future land use element or future land use plan of the comp plan. Now, as to other relevant elements of the comp plan, the development of the site will be consistent with the conservation element. The design of the site will conform to the 2014 stormwater regulations, resulting in quality control and groundwater recharge, and will comply with the TMDL, total maximum daily load pollutant reduction targets, and the source water protection regulations. Buffers will be provided, and as already stated, there are no wetlands on the site that will be impacted by the development. The development will be in accordance with the water and wastewater element, since our site will be served by Tidewater, a public water utility, and Artesian, a public wastewater utility. The economic development element of the plan states that tourism has been the strongest factor recently driving job growth in Sussex County, and that the hospitality sector and the retail trade sector are the fastest growing sectors. Now, why do tourists want to shop here? Part of the reason is pretty simple. Delaware is only one of two states east of Montana that does not have a sales tax. New Hampshire is the other one. Virginia has a 5% sales tax. Maryland has a 6% sales tax. Pennsylvania has a 6% sales tax. And New Jersey has a 7% sales tax. So Delaware is, in fact, as they used to claim on I-95, the home of tax-free shopping. And that is very appealing to many of the visitors who come here. Now, Exhibit D of the exhibit book is an economic impact summary. It is projected that the construction and development of this center will generate an expenditure of approximately $100 million, resulting in economic benefits of job creation, real estate tax, transfer tax revenues, employee compensation, and then, as you know, the indirect impact or secondary impact of all those activities on other sectors of the economy. It's estimated development and construction of the center will utilize approximately 400 construction jobs, and that the center, when fully operating, would create approximately 1,500 jobs composed of management and supervisory positions, sales positions, maintenance positions, security, and other customer service-related positions. Now, I've read many of the letters that were submitted for the record. I'll admit I have not read them all, but I have read many of the letters of those who have sent in opposition to this application. One of the comments or complaints that's made is that the jobs that will be created here are low-paying jobs. I think that is a relative concept. Depending on your point of view, these jobs may be lower-paying jobs or moderate-paying jobs. And while I don't expect anyone with a high-paying job to quit their job and seek employment here, I do think that these jobs would look quite appealing to some Sussex County resident who is currently unemployed, or someone seeking a second job, or a retired person finding need for additional income, or just wanting to work, or to young people who are just entering the job market for the first time. So the people who do find employment through these types of new jobs, I think will be quite pleased with the salaries they're receiving, and those salaries, again, will have a significant secondary impact on the Sussex County economy. I'll refer, there is a letter in the record from CDAC, which is the Sussex County, the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee, in support of our proposal. That letter states that they believe that the development will be beneficial to the county economically, will improve public safety in the area, will expand traditional retail shopping opportunities, will enhance job opportunities throughout Sussex County, and will retain much of the revenue generated by the project in Sussex County. In summary, the project has a tremendous economic benefit on Sussex County. Another element of the plan is the historic preservation element. As I've stated, the land is cleared farmland. The State Historic Preservation Office stated in the plus comments that there are no known historic or cultural resources, such as an archaeological site or National Register site listed on this property. Our request also is in conformity with the intergovernmental coordination element. The proposed development does not directly impact the two closest municipalities, Milton and Lewis. Both of those municipalities are located approximately 5.5 miles from the site. Our proposal was reviewed as part of the PLUS process, and as I previously stated, the Office of State Planning Coordination stated that our site is located in investment level 3, which is an area where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans. Additionally, DelDOT stated, again, in the on page 9 of the September 9, 2014 letter, and I again quote, the parcel is currently zoned AR1, and the developer proposes to rezone the land CR1. According to the comprehensive plan, this rezoning is appropriate under the future land use designation of an environmentally sensitive developing area. The comment goes on to say that the proposed development is planned as 857,000 square feet of commercial space. Given that the site's future land use designation is an environmentally sensitive developing area, this development is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. So our proposal has been coordinated with the appropriate jurisdiction, which is the state of Delaware. As to the mobility element, as I said, Wes is going to discuss the studies done and the improvements required by DelDOT, including the $8 million contribution toward the intersection, and also that the proposed use would be tied into the public transit, public buses in Sussex County. And the improvements that we're talking about conform in many ways to the items listed in the vision statement of the mobility element of the plan, and that's on page 1225 of the plan. The vision statement describes how growth and improvements to Sussex County's transportation system are to be managed, and they include the following 5 items. Again, this is from the plan. A corridor preservation program will be enhanced with necessary access controls to maintain highway capacity. The public transportation system will be improved and expanded to provide greater access to job opportunities, education, services, and recreation for residents. There will be a variety of transportation means for tourists to travel to and within the resort areas. Economic development, including tourism and job creation, will be given high priority in transportation decision making, and local road improvements will be given high priority to benefit residents and businesses. Again, our proposal is consistent with the mobility element of the plan. Again, I go back to the question, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan? And I think, again, clearly the answer is yes. Now, the Comprehensive Plan provides general guidelines, general principles for future land use development. But the third item of guidance that I want to speak about is the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, which provides greater specificity. Section 115-83(1) of the Zoning Ordinance, which is in Exhibit I of the Exhibit Book, states the purpose of the CR1 Zoning District. And that section states that the purpose of this district is to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a wide variety of commercial and miscellaneous service activities, generally serving a wide area and located particularly along certain existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists, but which uses are not characterized by extensive warehousing, frequent heavy truck activity, open storage of materials, or the nuisance factors of dust, odor, and noise associated with manufacturing. The TD application provides sufficient space in an appropriate location for a variety of retail and service activities that will generally serve a wide area in Sussex County and is located on an existing major thoroughfare where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist and is not characterized by the nuisance factors mentioned in the purpose clause. In addition to that section, there's another section which is on the same exhibit, and that is section 115-833, and that addresses large-scale uses in the CR1 zoning district. Now, large-scale uses are described as generally serving a regional area and having floor area exceeding 75,000 square feet. So clearly, our proposal, as we stated in our rezoning application, is a large-scale use. That section further states that large-scale uses be located where adequate infrastructure is existing or planned, and as I've already stated, our development will be served by public central water and sewer, and the development will contribute to the infrastructure road improvements in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. But most importantly, the large-scale section requires that, and I quote, such uses shall be adjacent to a major arterial roadway as defined in section 99-5 of the subdivision ordinance. Now, in that section, the use of the word shall makes that requirement mandatory. A large-scale use must be adjacent to a major arterial roadway as defined in the subdivision ordinance. So you then need to refer to the subdivision ordinance to determine which roads are designated as major arterial roads. And this is Exhibit J in the exhibit packet. And this requirement is very significant because in eastern Sussex County, there are only three major arterial roads. So large-scale commercial uses could only be permitted on one of those three roads. The first major arterial road identified in the subdivision ordinance in eastern Sussex County is item F of that section. And basically that identifies Route 9 coming east from Georgetown to the intersection with Route 1. Now, that portion of Route 9 is a two-lane road, one lane in each direction, and would be inappropriate and unsuitable for our proposed use. The second arterial road is item G in that section, and that is Route 9 from Route 1 to the southwesterly town limits of the town of Lewis. Now, as you are well aware, a prior large-scale CR1 use application was proposed in that area, and that was denied for reasons that I'm going to address in a moment. But for that reason, obviously, that road would have been inappropriate for our proposed use. So that leaves the third arterial road, which is item A. And the third arterial road, not surprising, is Delaware Route 1 from the Kent County line to the Maryland line. Now, going south on Route 1 from the Nassau Bridge, there really is no suitable acreage available for the proposed use, and that's due, number one, to the geography of the area. Most of that stretch of land is barrier island, or it's due to the fully developed nature of the area, and I would submit that from Dewey Beach north to the Nassau Bridge, it's just fully developed. So that really just leaves approximately a 1.5-mile corridor of Route 1 from the Nassau Bridge to the northern boundary of our parcel as the only available possible location for a CR1 large-scale use. Now, as you drive along that section of Route 1, and I know you all do, it is pretty clear that most of that area, most of that land is already developed and not available. The exception is the several large areas of farmland that are located on the east side of Route 1, one of which is our parcel. And again, that is the farmland that I referred to earlier, again, of which our site is part. Our proposed use and our requested zoning cannot be located north of our site on Route 1 because, as I've mentioned before, our northern boundary is the extent of the growth area under the comp plan. North of our site is actually designated in the plan as a rural area, and CR1 zoning and large-scale use, as you know, would not be permitted north of our site in the rural area. So our site is located in an area designated as appropriate for development by both the state strategies and the county comp plan. In fact, the fact that the comp plan's growth area terminates at our northern boundary somewhat explains why the owners of the farm to the north of us voluntarily entered into the Ag Preservation Program. Their land is in a rural area, a non-growth area, and really isn't suitable for development, while our site, which is in the growth area, was offered for sale for development by Mr. and Mrs. Chappell, and it is in a growth area where the state and the county have designated development as appropriate. So our proposed site meets all of the requirements of the CR1 purpose section and the requirements of the large-scale use section. And I do want to note that the county could have, if it was intended, prohibit large-scale uses in eastern Sussex County. Or they could have prohibited large-scale uses on Route 1. But the county did the opposite of that. The county enacted legislation that said large-scale CR1 uses could be permitted in eastern Sussex County, but it restricted those uses to certain specific locations, and our site is one of those specific locations. So going back to the question, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning and large-scale use according to the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance? Again, the answer is yes. Now, the fourth and final source of guidance regarding a CR1 change of zone request, at least to me as a lawyer, are the comments and opinions expressed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council in deciding similar rezoning applications. Now, the most recent and relevant prior application was that of LT Associates, LLC, change of zone 1690. That application was to amend zoning from AR1 to CR1, the same as we are requesting. That was for a 45-acre parcel located on King's Highway, which is Route 9. And again, that was between Route 1 and the Lewistown limits. That application was also subject to the 2008 comp plan, which is the same comp plan that we are subject to. The Planning and Zoning's recommendation was made in October of 2009, and the County Council decision was made in January 2010. Both of those decisions were 3-2 votes for denial of that application. I want to make it perfectly clear that we have no opinion or position as to whether those decisions were correct or not, and we express no opinion as to the merits of that application. I am only referring to that decision for the sole purpose of determining guidance from the considerations that were expressed by the Commission and by the County Council. Now, a copy of the Planning and Zoning Commission's minutes of its recommendation in the LT case is Exhibit K of our exhibit packet. And what I propose to do is to summarize the main points raised by the Commission in its denial recommendation and contrast that with our location. In LT, the Commission's recommendation states, and I quote, "This location does not serve a wide area as referenced in the purpose of the CR1 district. It is not located on a roadway that serves a wide area, since King's Highway serves primarily the destinations of Lewis, the state park, and the ferry, and does not serve traffic coming or going from a wide area of Sussex County. Now, in contrast, our site is located on Route 1, which is the principal arterial road in eastern Sussex County. Route 1 serves a wide area and a diverse population, including area residents, Sussex County residents, seasonal beach area residents and visitors, and travelers in general passing through the area. Second, in LT, it was stated that there is not currently a general mixture of service activities along King's Highway or Gills Neck Road adjacent to the property. Again, in contrast, Route 1 is a major commercial area in eastern Sussex County. The area between Nassau Bridge and Dewey is fully developed. The mile-and-a-half corridor that I referred to north of the Nassau Bridge is mostly developed, with the exception of the areas I pointed out. This land is, again, an area that's anticipated for growth by both the state and the county plans. And as I said, it's a level investment level one, entirely on one side and a good portion on the other side. There are many properties in this area zoned commercial or B1. There's numerous existing businesses located in this growth corridor, and it is a general mixture of commercial and service activities. And again, most importantly, Route 1 is a county-designated major arterial road, which is a prerequisite for large-scale use. Number three, in LT, the recommendation next states that while there are some regional or large-scale shopping centers or commercially zoned properties in the environmentally sensitive development area, most, if not all, are either smaller than what has been proposed by the applicant, predated the establishment of the environmentally sensitive development area overlay, or are along more appropriate major thoroughfares where a true mix of service and commercial uses already exist and are more easily accessible. Now, again, our site is located along the more appropriate major thoroughfares that the Planning Commission was referring to in that statement, Route 1. Again, the major arterial road in eastern Sussex County where a mixture of uses already exist. Fourth, the Commission stated in LT that the county's comprehensive plan promotes intergovernmental coordination with local municipalities and specifically references large development applications. On this application, the Lewis City Council and the Board of Public Works both officially expressed strong concerns and objections to the project and requested that it be denied. Now, as I stated, our site is not in close proximity to any municipality. It's approximately 5.5 miles from Milton and Lewis. And as far as intergovernmental coordination, as I've already stated, the Office of State Planning Coordination noted that our site is in an investment level where growth is anticipated. DLDOT indicated that our proposed development is in compliance with the 210 update of the state strategies policy and is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. So I think clearly, we have coordinated our efforts with the state. The LT recommendation next states that there has been strong public opposition to the project, focusing mainly on the additional traffic that would be generated by it and the cumulative impact of the existing projects along Gills Neck Road that have been approved or applied for but not yet completed. Again, as far as traffic impact, the developer prepared a traffic impact study under the specifications required by DLDOT and has been working with DLDOT regarding the improvements that are going to be required. As I stated, the developer will be required and has agreed to the roadway improvements, including the $8 million contribution to the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection redesign and overpass, which is, and as I said, has been planned by DLDOT for some time for preserving the highway capacity on Route 1. The LT recommendation also expressed concern by the public by the proximity of the proposed commercial center nearly across the street from the new Cape Henlopen High School. A new project of this size and scale is not well suited to such a location for safety reasons and because it will not be compatible with the traffic generated by the high school and its athletic, educational, and community activities and uses. As I've already noted, our site fronts on Route 1. It is surrounded on the northeast and the south by farmland, resulting in no significant impact on the properties adjacent to our site. And lastly, the LT recommendation of denial concludes that the proposed project does not meet the purpose of the zoning ordinance, since it does not promote orderly growth of the county. Now, again, our site is located in an area where the state anticipates growth. It's in an area designated a growth zone by the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The comp plan further states that in the environmentally sensitive development area, larger shopping centers should be confined to selected locations with access to arterial roads. And our site is located on such a road. Our site will be provided water and sewer services by public utility companies. All of that amounts to orderly growth. So in summary, many of the very same reasons cited by the commission and the county council as the basis for denying the LTCR1 large-scale commercial rezoning are reasons that actually support the approval of our site for the CR1 zoning. Again, going back to the question, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning? According to the prior opinions expressed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council in deciding similar rezoning applications, and again, the answer is yes. So for the reasons stated as far as the legal basis for your decision, the four sources of guidance that I mentioned, the state strategies, the county comp plan, the county zoning ordinance, and the reasoning of your prior decisions on a CR1 zoning request, to me, by a great weight of authority, fully support our application. Next, I'm going to go ahead and have Steve Gorski present the next portion of our presentation. He is going to discuss the site conditions and some of the engineering-related issues. He will be followed by Wes Guckard, who will discuss the Del Dot issues. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.